Good evening, Texas. Good evening, Houston. And good morning, Philippines. My name is Aileen Ligodizan. I'm an attorney licensed here in the state of Texas and in the Philippines. And welcome to Legal Treats. With me tonight, of course, is Neska. Neska, come in. There she is.
Hello, hi, Attorney Aileen. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in a hotel tonight.
For the new year preparation?
After Christmas celebration, most likely.
Yeah, after Christmas celebration. Okay. That's right. How's Houston there? How's Texas?
Well, right now I'm not in Houston. Oops. I already revealed that I'm not in Houston, right? But going back tomorrow, back to Houston tomorrow. So, yeah, there's still a lot of people, you know, doing this celebration, because this is it's a month-long celebration of the holidays. So there's still a lot of events happening during the weekend, and even during weekdays, you know, because of the way the Christmas break is planned today. This year, it's in between. I mean, it's midweek, so it's really hard to kind of go to work after the holiday, right? How about in the Philippines?
It's already Saturday here in the Philippines, and there are a lot of Christmas parties happening already here. Reunions, elementary or high school reunions are also happening, and yeah, everybody seems so busy, especially that we are all preparing for the new year. People are preparing for New Year here than Christmas. So Christmas is already done, and we're already preparing for New Year. So yeah.
So marami ng mga nagpapaputok ng mga firecrackers.
Parang wala na. Wala na akong naririnig masyado.
Probably. Oh, bakit kaya? Kasi wala pa naman ano.
Yes. And parang years ago, a couple of years ago, parang binan na yung mga paputok. So, siguro, yun din yung reason.
So, when you say ban the paputok, is there like a specific place lang where they can do it? Or talagang totally no one should be doing it?
There's just specific areas where you can do the, you know, do the fireworks and firecrackers also. There are only allowed firecrackers also na kailangang gamitin. Other than that, bawal na.
So meron ding specific na firecrackers ang pwede nilang i-consume during,
yes.
Okay, well, dito rin naman it's you don't usually see somebody doing it on the street or in their backyard. Usually we go to a place where there is really really grand show of fireworks. So usually we go to Six Flags of Texas or sa Galveston, sa my Bay Area. Usually dun kami pumupunta kapag New Year. Para manood lang ng fireworks. Pero sobrang naman talaga. It's just so grand na parang sa bagay, if you're just doing it in one place, right? So better yet, do it amazingly, not just for the sake of having paputok. Yeah, but I believe there are more fireworks shows here during the 4th of July rather than the New Year.
New Year, okay. Mm-hmm. Parang mas masaya kasi yung fireworks rather than firecrackers. Firecrackers kasi your dogs sometimes would do this.
Oh, they're gonna be scared. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
You also some have babies, so but firecrackers is not advisable then.
Yeah. So that's why we just go to a place where they do it. There's really like fireworks display.
Yeah.
Usually by the city, or by some big companies.
Yeah. Anyway, Attorney Aileen, this production is proudly brought to us by Lawing Media Network. We are currently live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So be sure to join us every 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you missed us, don't worry, you can catch the replay on over 15 podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google, Amazon, Apple, and more. So stay tuned and stay engaged.
That's right. So make sure to follow and subscribe Lawin Media Network, Facebook, and YouTube channel. All right. So ano ba pag-usapan natin ngayon, Neska?
Yes. Last time we discussed about domestic abuse in general. Ngayon, we are still going to talk about domestic abuse, but several types of domestic abuse. We're going to have an overview, ano yung different types of domestic abuse, or we'll talk about it. And yeah, still, we encourage our followers, our listeners, to post their comments on the comment section so that we may be able to read that on air.
That's right. So, I believe you have a video to show. Are we ready for that? Okay, see. Let's go ahead and...
Good evening, ma'am.
Hello, Officer Gao. Can I help you?
One of your neighbors called us, said they heard some yelling, some sounds of a fight. Thought there might have been some kind of altercation going on.
It must have been a mistake, because everything's fine here.
It's a warm night for a sweater. Ma'am, if you're in some kind of danger...
Hey, babe, everything okay? Officer, what's going on?
We didn't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
Of course.
Oh, I just need you to sign this right here to prove I did a thorough canvas. Look, I get you're scared of what he'll do if you report him, but you need to think about what he's going to do if you don't. Don't be afraid to run. Be afraid to stay.
Wow, we haven't used this since the wedding.
One of the few things I have left of my mother.
To my Maddie.
Accidents happen. My mother always used to say that an accident is just an opportunity to learn. Problem, Maddie. That you never do.
Damn it, Maddie! This is your fault. I told you you couldn't leave me. I warned you.
Wow. This is a movie, but I don't know the title. Do you happen to know the title of this movie?
I don't know what the title of the movie that yet. I think I am yet to watch that.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
That was intense.
Yes, it's just there's some in that short video clip. There's so much already there that you can learn about, you know, that maybe you can relate. Not everybody can relate, but maybe some of the viewers can relate to that. But it's just so powerful. That scene is just so powerful that it tells us a lot of things going on in one person's, you know, life. Or family life, right? Because you know, when you go out there, like let's say you attend a party, makipagkwentuhan ka sa friends mo, they don't really know what's happening inside your house, or between the two of you, your spouse. So kaya nga sabi nila, sometimes when you look at Facebook, you know, and you see some photos or videos posted there by some friends or people you know. Sometimes mapapasana all ka, diba? Sana all. Mm-hmm. Sana all. But, you know, remember that yung iba naman naiinggit sila, diba? Bakit, you know, ang ganda ng buhay niya, ganyan, ganyan. But you know, you don't know the secret grief of that person. Kaya dapat sabi nila, huwag kang mainggit because you don't know, you know, what's going on really behind those pictures, right? So, anyway... Yeah, yun ang pag-uusapan natin ngayon is kinds of abuses. There are many kinds of abuses that, you know, we call them domestic abuse. But tonight, we're going to talk about how many, Neska, what are the kinds of abuse that we're going to talk about tonight?
Yeah, we are going to talk about the physical abuse, emotional abuse, economic abuse, neglect, stalking, and also sexual abuse. So, we're going to talk about several types of domestic abuse tonight. We'll have an overview of it.
That's right. And so if you have any questions or comments or feedback or shout outs to your friends and family or loved ones, just post them and we're going to read them after a short break. Let's take a break.
Attention, food lovers. Get ready for a brand new culinary adventure with the Commissary Kitchen.
Join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. in the Philippines for a live show that brings the best of the kitchen straight to your screen.
Presented by Lawn Live Stream and Podcast and produced by Lawn Media Network, We'll explore delicious recipes, share expert cooking tips, and bring you closer to the world of gourmet cuisine. The Commissary Kitchen, where every meal is an experience.
And we're back. All right,
yes, again. We're back.
We're back here at Legal Treats.
Yes, and we also encourage our followers, listeners, to post their comments at the comment section so that we may be able to read that here on air. We are still talking about several types of abuses, namely physical, emotional, economic, neglect, stalking, and sexual abuse. And from this episode tonight, they are going to learn these different types of domestic abuse.
You're right, Niska. And so let's start with the first one that you have mentioned earlier. And we saw that in the video, physical abuse. So when you say physical abuse, you know, from the term physical, so there's a force, right? It involves the use of force against a loved one or a family member, or in that video, I believe it's against the spouse, which of course that physical force can result to in injury or maybe could be fatal as well. You know, it includes, in that movie you saw it, slapping. One is choking, but you didn't see that one in the movie. But choking is a big deal. Or there are any other physical form of course, physical abuse. But let me go back to the word choking. Because we already know slapping, hitting, you know.
Punching.
Or inuntog ka sa pader, ganyan. Those are, sometimes pag galit ka, di ba? Nagagawa mo yun, yun ang sinasabi nila. But if it's a repetitive, it's a repetitious, it becomes an abuse, right? Now, I just want to emphasize on the word choking. You know, choking is when you prevent the air passage, right? You know, really. Why is choking a big deal, do you think? Among all the abuses, I mean, physical forces. And why am I emphasizing on the word choking or the act of choking?
For me, attorney Aileen, I think choking is really a big deal because you strangle someone on their neck, preventing them to breathe. Mm-hmm. And yes.
So in that case, you really, there could be, if ever lang magkaroon ng investigation, magkaroon ng kaso, right? It could be an evidence or a proof of intent to kill because you're choking a person. Any slap mo, yung tao, pwede mo pang sabihin, well, I just slapped the person, right? But I didn't intend to kill the person. But when you choke somebody, you strangle somebody, you block the air passage, you know, preventing that person from breathing, that there's already a malice there, right? An intent to probably kill that person, not just physically injure the person. And the other thing that I'd like to emphasize on that one is if you're an immigrant here in the United States, when I say immigrant, you know, galing, let's say, for example, Filipino ka, nag-migrate ka sa United States. You know, let's say, for example, nakakuha ka ng green card. Let's say nag-asawa ka ng U.S. citizen. And then the U.S. citizen spouse filed a petition for you so that you can adjust your status to legal permanent resident. You know, dito, if you become a legal permanent resident, you obtain your green card, that's what we call it, through marriage. After 3 years of issuance of the green card, you can already apply for naturalization. You will become a U.S. citizen once you naturalize. So that's a good thing. But if ever there is at some point in your marriage there was physical abuse and during, you know, it became an abuse or repetitive, and at some point there was choking. You know, if you can prove that, you know, you can, it could be a reason why you cannot naturalize. It's a big deal. That's why whenever I have a case, somebody applying for naturalization and there was a a family violence filed against that person, either that person was arrested or convicted, you know, I always look at the nature of the crime, yung description when they file the charge, when they charge that person, ano yung naka, how was it described? How was the abuse described? You know, or how was the violence, physical violence described there? Because if there's choking in there, oh my gosh, it's a big deal. So I know that it's gonna be complicated. That's why I'm emphasizing on that one.
Of all the physical abuses, I mean the physical force or violence against a person, so far, we really have to take note of the choking, no? Kasi sabi mo, Attorney Aileen, when you choke someone, parang there is already an intent to kill someone.
Yeah, because do we have a question?
Yeah, we have a question here. You have a question from May De Vera. Have you ever encountered a man who is a victim of domestic abuse?
Yes, that is correct. Again, the victims are not just only women. Men can also be victims of domestic abuse. And sometimes sabihin mo na, oh, how is that possible? It depends on how you prove it. You know, it depends on the proof. It depends on so many factors when you go to court and prove that, and you try to prove that a man is physically abused. Because there are also women who are physically abusive. You know, so yes, you're right, May.
We have
another question.
Yeah, we have another question here. It is rare and against the status quo, so it is not being talked about. But there are still a lot of cases of wives or women abusing their husband or parang follow up pala sa question kanina.
Totoo yan, di ba? So yun ang sinabi ko na sometimes may mga women din naman. So that's why victims could either be the husband or the wife or whoever, ibig sabihin, whoever can be a victim of physical abuse or domestic abuse. Dalawa lang yan eh, mayroong abuser and of course the abuse spouse or partner. Yan. So
pero attorney, diba, regardless of your gender, if you are being abused or physically maltreated, regardless of your gender, pwede siyang masabing domestic abuse.
Yeah, so domestic.
May question pala tayo dito. How do you feel when your client is the abuser? From Orlando Diza.
How do I feel? I feel the same way din naman. My client, if my client is abuser, there gotta be a reason. Remember, we advocate for our clients. We kind of need to know the truth of what are the facts. Sometimes you have to understand what led to the abuse. Right? It could be that the other party, you know, was also abusive, you know. So sometimes nagre-retaliate ka and then nagiging ano na siya pattern na pareho na kayong abusive. So there's more to that statement that if my client is the abuser, I need to understand everything. So that's why I always ask my client, in order for me to represent you seamlessly, you gotta have to be honest to me, like honest, tell me everything so that I can fully advocate for you. You know, so sometimes, sometimes I have to ask more questions. I have to be creative, you know, to get those facts. Sometimes it will not be given. Most of the times they're not going to give those important information to me because they didn't think it's important. So I have to be creative in, you know, getting those information or extracting the information from them. But how do I feel? I mean, it depends on the situation. Kung ako naman ay na-abuse, syempre mag-galit ako. Kung sa akin naman. Kung yung client ko na-abuser, ako naman sinisigawan. Parang, hey, wait a minute. Hindi tayo magkaaway, di ba? So, huwag mo akong sisigawan. Ganun. So, or huwag mo akong aawayin. Ganun. So, depende ng situation. But it happens.
So, paano pala yun, attorney? For example, if dalawa kayong abuser, the husband and the wife are both abuser, pareho kayong, well, siguro sabihin natin, yung love language nila ng dalawa is physical abuse. So how do we settle?
Parang ano lang yan, chicken and egg, di ba? Who's first? And it's never gonna end, kasi syempre the other side will always have something to say na, oh, you hit first, so I hit back, right? Or ikaw naman nagsimula. So kaya ako naging ganito is because you made me into like this. So kaya nga, like I said, chicken and egg. So now in a divorce case, we see it as, of course, it could be a fault marriage, diba? Because here in Texas, there is a no-fault divorce and there is a fault divorce. Kapag may kasalanan, may nagawang kasalanan, then it could be a fault divorce. Now, ngayon, you just have to prove kung sino ang mas malala yung fault, diba? Okay. So pareho kayong abusive, pareho kayong nagsasakitan, then those are the information, those are the factors that the judge will have to consider if ever the judge have to make the decision. Kasi in a divorce case here, we try to settle everything first. We have mediations after mediations. We try to settle yung mga issues. Magkasundo na lang kayo, how will you divide your properties, right? Pero kung hindi kayo magkasundo, then the judge will have to decide and you'll have to show all this proof of abuses and everything else, other grounds. So parang ano din yan, jumping into the other type of abuse, which is emotional, you know. Ipo-prove mo rin kung, kasi hindi naman laging physical lang abuse, right? Could also be emotional abuse. Paano ba itong mga emotional abuse nang nangyari? Through treatment, cruel treatment can be considered as emotional abuse. Yung minumura ka, pinagbabantaan ka, the abuser is trying to control you, emotional abuse. Ano ba sa tingin mo ang iba pang types of emotional abuse? Paano nangyayari to sa Philippines?
Sa Philippine setup naman, emotional abuse usually happens kapag, ayun, minumura ka, or sabi nga nila, sa term ng mga Gen Z or sa mga younger generation, they call it manipulation or gaslighting.
Oh yeah, gaslighting.
Yeah, that's a term. That's their term. Gaslighting, manipulation. They're parang they twist or twitch facts para you believe on their facts, pero actually their facts is a lie. And then also there are threats. There are verbal threats kapag they threaten you na, for example, magpapakamatay ako if hihiwalayan mo ko. Those are also considered as emotional abuse here in the Philippines. So yun.
Yeah, pareho lang din naman. Similar here. Those are, you know, the things that will come up if we're talking about emotional abuse. Yung mga narcissist, diba? Narcissist, man. You like you said, manipulation, gaslighting. Actually, we saw that one in the video that we showed earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, pagga-gaslight ng husband dun sa wife na, ano ba yung sinabi niya doon?
Parang he said that it was a wife's fault. Parang sinisi niya rin yung babae.
Oo. Para bang kung nasunod na lang sana siya, hindi mangyari yun. So it's her fault, right? So kaya, you can see there the control. And if that control and manipulation, you know, gaslighting happen in a pattern or repetitive manner, nagkakaroon ng effect yun sa mental state ng spouse na the abusive spouse. Kaya minsan, you know, pag napuno na sila, nagdilim ng paningin nila, nakakagawa sila ng hindi maganda, you know, natutulid silang lumaban. And there are some cases na kung saan napatay ng wife ang husband.
Mm-hmm.
But and they use that. They use that as a defense. Bakit niya nagawa yun? It's because of their abuse. Tsaka hindi lang yun sa ano, sa mag-asawa. Also sa
magka-boyfriend, girlfriend,
family niya. Oh, yun. Mm-hmm. Tsaka yung sa family mo, yung sa magulang, sa anak, ganyan. Mm-hmm. Meron din ganon. Kasi meron isang case na they used that na they said that they're being emotionally abused, physically abused, sexually abused by, you know. Sometimes we just need to really dig into the facts and the evidence to know the truth because it's easy to accuse a person, eh. Diba? You know, about that. So yeah, if there's something that we need to remember about emotional or psychological abuse, I always tell my client, in a court of law, you'll have to show evidence, you know, that you are emotional. You cannot just say it. Well, actually, you can say that. You can testify on your behalf, but has to be corroborated by evidence. Very stronger yung proof mo, yung evidence mo that you are being emotionally abused or physically abused. So I always encourage them to go see a doctor or a psychologist, you know, because they can show proof that they're undergoing through these difficult times, and it's because of that. So that at least they have some proof that, yeah, at some point I went to see a psychologist and I've been in treatment for how long because of the suffering that the person is experiencing under the abusive spouse.
Yeah, all so right? It's important pala, attorney, to have evidence first.
Oo, kaya yan, marami ng video-video, di ba? Video ka, to at least meron kang evidence. Now, here in Texas kasi, as long as you're part of the conversation, and I'm not saying in all, I'm just saying here in Texas, you can record it. It's not why you're not violating the anti-wiretapping.
Okay.
If you're part of the conversation, if you're part of that scenario, you can record your conversation. You can record the video, you know, and you can use that one as evidence in court because you are part of the conversation. But if you're not part of that, you may be violating a law if you record somebody else, you know, conversation. So anyway, I think we need to go on a short break. Before we jump into the next two types of abuses.
Welcome to season 4 of Be Bold. Why not? Get ready to make bold changes in your life with MJ Concepcion. Dive deeper into the discussions. Listen to the unstoppable voices of MJ and her guests, the legends and the rising stars. Join the celebration of talent, sports, passion, and the power of music. Tune in every Monday, 7 p.m. Central, Tuesday, 8 a.m. Philippines. See you there.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me.
And we're back. We're still here, Legal Treats, and I'm still with Niska. This is Eileen Legal Design. And we're talking about different types of abuses, domestic abuse, here in the United States, specifically Texas, and also in the Philippines. Actually, abuses, pare-pareho lang naman yung abuses wherever you are, right? But they're, in terms of impact or why is it important, you know, you have to look into the laws of that jurisdiction wherever you are, so you know when is it important. Like, for example, here in Texas, we can, you know, people can just divorce through no-fault divorce, right? But why do we go to fault divorce? Because if you can prove all this, let's say, for example, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and all other types of abuses, you may get more percentage of the community property because it's not really 50-50 split. And so that's why it's important, you know? Kasi kung may mas marami kang kasalanan, mas konting makukuha mo doon sa community properties ninyo. Kaya we have to show that, show proof of those abuses, right? So, Neska, what are we going to talk about? Do we have questions? Do we have comments?
So far, nabasa na pala lahat dito kanina. So, yeah, we encourage everyone to please post your comments in the comment section so that we may be able to read that here on air. So, after the physical and the emotional abuse, we move on, Attorney Aideen, to the economic abuse and to the neglect.
Yes, so economic abuse, sometimes hindi natin to napapansin, no? Because we're so focused on physical and emotional. Those are the very common ones. But economic abuse also happens. And it happens a lot, actually it's a marriage, especially if one person is in control of your assets, of your money, of your bank accounts. Now, sometimes ganun, diba, sa mag, well, why am I asking you, Neska? You're single. You don't know that. So mag-asawa, sometimes one is the treasurer or the financial person, diba? So especially depending on sa profession ng spouse or how you're running your household. Sometimes, let's say for example, yung husband ng may hawak ng finances, mga bank accounts, may access, hawak ng mga passwords and all that. And then the wife chooses to be full-time housewife to take care of the kids in the house, of course, right? That's a big responsibility. So sometimes hindi natin napapansin na nagkakaroon na pala ng control and manipulation and financial abuses. Let's say for example, the husband is nagsusugal. Sinusugal pala yung income nyo, yung savings ninyo nang hindi alam ng other spouse. And nawawala, natatalo. Sana man ko na nanalo, right? Tsaka yung napanalo na niya, kung sinishare niya. Pero kung natatalo lagi, nawawala siyang pera, then that could be financial abuse or economic abuse ng other spouse. Because he has control of the money, of the bank accounts. He can withdraw money anytime. So he's taking advantage of that. Kaya nga tinatawag na economic or financial abuse yan. At some point in one of my cases I handled, the spouse, a Filipino spouse, came here to the United States, married a United States, U.S. citizen spouse. And then the wife is a full-time housewife. So the husband is just going to give, the only time the wife is going to have some cash or money is when she has to go buy groceries, and that's weekly. And then the husband is just so controlling that binibigay lang niya kung ano yung pambili ng groceries, so may specific amount. And wala doon na portion or money na pambili naman yung wife ng personal needs niya, di ba? Meron din naman tayo mga personal needs or mga personal na gusto natin, kahit lang yung simple lang, ay gusto ko yun, gusto ko magkaroon ng ganong, ang cute naman ng damit na yun, di ba? But kung wala siya sa budget, di siya makabili. So, mangingi pa siya sa husband niya. At kung hindi siya bibigyan, so, that is not right. Kasi you have to, as a husband, and as a matter of fact, sa immigration din, when you petition your wife, you filed an affidavit of support. And I'm talking about this, Neska, because there is really a crossover between immigration and family law kasi. So, syempre, yung mga purely practicing family law, they may not know the immigration aspect of it. That's why this is important. If you are an immigrant and you're going to need a representation, find someone who practices immigration and family law, especially, like I said, if you are an immigrant, because whatever, there may be some crossover like this. So yun nga, when you petition your spouse, you know, the U.S. citizen spouse petitioned the non-U.S. citizen spouse, you submitted an affidavit of support, which is under oath. So sinasabi mo doon that you are going to support your spouse. And yung support then, by the way, is a big deal, because that support stands until maging U.S. citizen yung spouse mo. So kahit nagkahiwalay kayo, nag-divorce kayo, you made that oath that you are going to support that spouse. So hindi ka pa rin off the hook. Anyway, the reason why I'm saying that is because yun nga, you're supposed to support your spouse. Kaya kung hindi mo siya bibigyan ng pangangailangan niya, then you are, you know, economically abusing your spouse, you know, and financially abusing your spouse. That's marami pa examples, but you know, yun lang siguro yung mapag-usapan natin tonight, since we only have limited time to talk about it. So unless you have a specific question about financial or or economic abuse, we're going to jump into the next one.
Yes, Attorney Aileen, there's a question of if someone is being financially controlled by an abuser, how can they find a way to access money or resources without being noticed? So parang siguro, he or she wants to sneak through the abuser's finances kasi she's being financially controlled or economically abused by his
spouse. That is a really good question that always comes up during divorce cases. So let's say, we'll have to add a little more facts to that scenario. Because if you want to access it during the marriage, the only way to know that is you ask your spouse to give you access to that, right? Well, the question is, will that spouse give it to you? Pwede naman, malay mo naman, di ka lang nagtatanong, magtanong ka lang, diba? Baka naman inisip ng spouse mo, you're not interested, or, kasi sometimes, diba, minsan, yung iba, ayokong isipin ng money, ikaw nang bahala dyan. May ganun naman kasi, eh. So, but maybe ask first, kung ayaw niya, or depende lang yan sa situation, basahin mo yung spouse mo kung it is something that is a good it's a good conversation, then do it, why not? Now, kung mag-sneak in ka naman, nakakatakot yun. Kasi kung abusive yung spouse mo, controlling or narcissist or nananakit, mahirap yun, di ba? Kung mahuli ka. Unless magaling kang mag-crack ng code sa computer or ng password. Ayan. Or at some point, naiwan niya yung information, then you can. Now, if it is a joint account, if you know it's a joint account, you can, and you know the bank, you can go to the bank. If your name is on the account, they will give you information. But if your name is not on the account, the banks are very, strict. They're not going to give you any information, not at all. So, but you can try. At some point, I told my somebody who consulted with me now, if you know the bank account, I exactly told that person to go to the bank. If you know that there's a joint account, you just don't know where is the passbook, or you don't know the code or whatever, you can always go to the bank. Because if your name is on the account, you'll be able to gain access to that. Malalaman mo. Now, if you're in a situation where you're already divorcing, you're in the process of divorce, you definitely can get that information through discoveries, So it's a process of discovery na yan. You can ask the information from the spouse, because the other spouse is obligated by law, is required to share that information with you through disclosures. Yeah, so you can get those information.
Yeah. Good so question. During the marriage, attorney, are there legal steps that can be taken to stop the economic abuse?
A legal step to stop the economic abuse? Well, definitely. See, the thing is, you should know first if you are legally, it's happening, right? Kasi usually nangyayari yung secretly, you don't know. Tamang hinala mo lang, ganyan. So you need to find evidence. You need to find proof na nagsusugal nga siya, na may nangyayaring, na nagsasiphoning money to another bank account. Open pa siya ng bagong account, hindi mo alam. So there is... like I said, it depends on the situation, I think. So I can't really tell you what are the legal steps. It depends on the situation. Like I said, sometimes it's not really legal because you already have rights. Not really. Well, legal siya because you have the right to access the information. But during pendency of divorce, definitely that's during the discovery, disclosure period. And
so we have an interesting question here from May De Vera.
Interesting ba talaga yan?
Can mistress or mistresses file for economic abuse?
Interesting nga, di ba?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wala muna. I mean, if it's depending sa situation, again, I'm answering like a rule lawyer talaga. It's always, it depends. Because it really depends. There are so many facts that are probably, we have, that are not in this question. Kasi minsan, first, how do you define a mistress?
Yeah.
How do you define a mistress? The woman, right? Not the wife, not the legal wife. Especially in the Philippines. Not the legal wife. Yeah, mistress.
The woman other than the legal wife.
Oh, I know, right? Yun yung definition, simple definition. of no mistress. Now, depende kung anong klaseng pera yon. Kasi meron ding, I remember one time in one of my consultations, yung mistress, ito sa Philippines to, but they are consulting here. Yung mistress, at saka yung, ano, yung spouse, ano sila, nag-joint venture sila sa Philippines. Parang meron silang, kasing mistress na sa Philippines. Alam mo yung situation na nagdidinidivorce yung wife dito kasi meron siyang mistress. I don't really like to use the word mistress. I never used that one for a long time. The other person, not the wife, you know. Yeah. Not the wife. Nagkaroon sila ng venture, nagkaroon sila ng relationship. So meron silang business venture, may partnership talaga sila. So depende kung saan mo titignan to economic abuse na yan. Kasi it could also be in the business, right? In the business aspect. So that's why I said there could be more facts than that. But that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I think the first question to be answered there first is, entitled ba talaga yung the other person or the other woman to support, if that's the case.
The other woman, entitled ba siya for support?
Yes, for economic, kasi magpa-file siya ng economic abuse sa iyo.
I mean, ang tanong ko dyan, entitled ba siya? Meron bang obligation yung spouse sa kanya? Kung walang
obligation. Okay, ito. Na-clarify na ni May. For example, daw po may kids.
Kalayan May, ha?
Siguro support. For support ng kids.
Well, hindi para sa kanya. Kasi yung sa kid, sa anak, iba naman yung obligation na yun. Dito sa US, it's ano, ang child support is a big deal. It's really enforced here. Kapag anak, dito kasi, walang illegitimate child dito, wala. You know, lahat anak, you know, anak mo siya sa marriage or hindi, ganyan. So, pero basta anak mo yan, entitled yan sa ano, support, sa child support. So ngayon, kapag hindi ka nagbabayad ng child support mo, merong, ano dito, the Office of the Attorney General ang nag-i-enforce ng child support, okay? Sila rin nagko-collect. So ngayon, pag hindi ka nakabayad, merong consequence yun, either isa-suspend yung license mo, driver's license mo, o kung lawyer ka, suspend yung license mo to practice law. Lahat ng mga licenses mo pwede lang suspend. As a matter of fact, kapag ka meron kang outstanding child support, hindi ka pwede mag-naturalize din. So it's in some, consultation, naging issue yan. So the father, kasi walay naman na sila, is applying for naturalization. Kaya lang, meron siyang utang na child support na laki-laki. More than, I can't remember anymore, siguro 80,000 plus. Kasi hindi siya nagbayad ng child support niya yata ever. Hindi naman in-enforce ng wife, so anong spouse, yung ex-spouse niya. Until siguro yun, kaya lang siyempre makikita pa rin yun na meron kang record. Hindi ka pwede magsinungaling. So hindi siya makakapag-naturalize hanggat hindi niya nababayaran yun. Now, if ever, sabi nila, wala akong trabaho I cannot pay child support. Dito pa naman, if one child, may one child ka, entitled yun sa 20% of your net income, 20% yun, automatic deduction yun. Wini-withhold yun, parang sa sweldo, di ba, wini-withhold yun. So ngayon, pag walang trabaho yan, pwedeng either mag-file na ng modification o kung hindi naman, siyempre, wala kang i-collect pero utang mo pa rin yun, babayaran mo pa rin yun. Parang back pay mo yun. So, hindi mo matatakasan yan. Dito sa Texas, may bagong batas na pinalabas last year na pwede mo i-force yung tao na magtrabaho para makapagbigay ng child support. Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know if I answered that question, but there's, like I said, there's so many factors that we have to consider if you're talking about child support. Yep. Pwedeng business, economic abuse yung ano, or business, or financial abuse din yung hindi ka nagbabayad ng child support tapos ginagastos mo sa yung iba din nagde-declare ng mas mababang income, you know, tapos yung pala meron silang mas marami pala yung income nila. So depende sa situation ng taong yan. So where are we now? Are we gonna break are we gonna on a short break? We do, right? Okay, we'll see you in a bit.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind the scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Beyond Health and Wellness Dr. Rich and Nurse MJ. Let's explore the journey to holistic well-being. Listen to insights that inspire a healthier, happier life uncovered. Empower yourself. Take charge of your well-being. Whether you're looking for tips on nutrition, mental health, or fitness, this show is for you. Beyond Health and Wellness. Every Friday 8 p.m. Central Time, that's Saturday 10 a.m.
And we're back. And Ernesta, okay ka pa ba? Oh, going back to yung child support. Going back to doon sa sa child support. I think doon na rin papasok yung neglect, you know, yung ground, yes. Yung other form of abuse natin, neglect. So not just financial but also neglect. So when we say neglect, dito papasok yung not just children kundi not just minor children but also yung mga adults, dependent adults na nakatira sa bahay. And you know, it means failure to provide necessary care, supervision, or support in terms of yun nga, financial support. Like for example, you fail to provide shelter, food, ganyan, medical care, and even education. That could be a form of neglect, especially here. Now, when you go to the Philippines, you see a lot of neglects happening on the street. Parang common na lang yan. Kaya lang kasi, hindi nga na-prosecute. I mean, hindi siya na-address. Pero maraming neglect na nangyayari dyan sa mga bata. Ganon din naman dito sa Texas. Meron din naman yan. Kaya nga, one of the grounds ng divorce ay neglect. Or abandonment in other terms, if you want to use that term. Now, when we say neglect, you know, bakit siya big deal sa divorce dito sa Texas? Kasi doon papasok yung yung issue ng child custody, you know. Dito kasi pag in a divorce case, if there's a minor involved, laging kasama yung issue ng custody. We call here conservatorship ang custody. And there's a sole conservatorship, yung nasa iyo yung custody. And the other parent is just, you know, visiting, my visitation right lang. But for the best interest of the child, the court determined that it's always going to be a joint custody, joint conservatorship. You have equal rights in terms of decision making. But there's always going to be a parent who's going to be the primary parent, kung saan titira yung bata, who will decide kung saan titira yung bata. And the other one will have the visitation rights. And if you have the visitation rights, you also have the obligation to provide child support. Ganun yun. Kaya nagkakaroon ng, okay, who's gonna have the primary custody, right? Because then the other party will pay child support until the child becomes 18 years old or graduate high school, whichever happens late, which is either mag-18 siya o mag-graduate siya ng high school. Imagine mo yung support na gagawin mo. Now, it matters kapag ikaw ay tao, now you've neglected your children and you showed that in court, you're able to prove that in court that the other party was able to prove that in court that you neglected your child. Most likely, hindi bibigay sa iyo ang joint custody or sole custody. That means you will be visiting the child only, you know, at a specific time period na na-designate ng court, and then you have to pay child support. Kinagawa yung mag-asawa or nagde-divorce. Kasi nga yung child support is a big deal. Yan. So doon pumapasok yung neglect. In the Philippines, going back to the scenario that I painted earlier in this situation na ang daming mga batang neglected on the street. What do you think of that, Nesca?
Actually, we have a comment here, attorney from Bonds DeSeco. Maybe that is the reason why Ramon Revilla Sr., Arap Estrada, Jerry Craval, Dolphy, and others have something in common. Dozens of kids, because there are no obligations for child support.
Oh, okay. Well, that is Bond's opinion. I respect your opinion. But maybe not. But who knows? Ano bang nangyayari talaga sa kanila? Maybe they're also, these people are also giving support. We don't know, right? So it's really hard to say. But it's really hard to judge a person. We need some proof that they really neglected their child. But I think the point here of Bonds is, because there's really, there's no law. Like, wala sigurong ngipin. Kung meron mang batas, walang ngipin yung batas to enforce it. Kaya na maraming batang nane-neglect. So, anak na anak, and then hindi masuportan. At some point nga, I can't remember if I saw it on the news na yung bata, yung magkapatid, iniwan ng ng mom. Yung mom, nagtumama sa ibang lalaki. So, and they're very minor. I can't remember if 7 years old or 6 years old was forced to take care of the younger one kasi walang mag-aalaga sa kanila. So how, imagine that. Imagine that kind of struggle. Bata yun, ha? Ibig sabihin, bata, you're supposed to be playing and having fun, enjoying your youth, but no, you have this obligation ng magulang mo dapat. That's a big obligation na nabigay mo sa bata na, what, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old? So, yeah. I'm sorry.
You know, attorney, if your child already is, let's say, nasa 21 years old or 22 years old, is the parent still obligated to provide support to the child?
Well, it depends on the definition whether that child is already an adult or still a minor. Of course, if it's a minor, and I say this because iba-iba kasi yung age of majority. Dito 18. I believe in Philippines it's also 18. So if you're more than 18 na, so dito nga pag nag-18 ka na, they are encouraging, not forcing. I don't know, some people are forcing their children to get out of the house, go get an apartment, go find a job, you know, because technically that person, that 18 years old, is no longer a minor and already an adult. So as a matter, wala na parental authority over that child. As a matter of fact, if ever may mangyari sa bata and they need consent, let's say, for example, I mean, bata, let's say lang nagkasakit yung 18 years old, you know, and kailangan meron silang medical operation na gagawin, the parent cannot just give consent without court order, even parent na yun, ha? Because wala na silang parental authority over that person kasi adult na. So, may mga ganun na aspect, yeah.
We also have another question here from Bonds DeSeco. Can we file a petition for violation of RA number 7610 when the father is not providing child support? Or A number 7610 is a Philippine child abuse law.
Oh, very nice. Si Bonds ba, no? Law student ka ba, Bonds? At tanong natin kay Nesca. O, Nesca.
Of course. Pwede naman. Child abuse.
Abuse naman yun.
Yes, when a father is not providing child support, of course, it can be considered as a child abuse for as long as the intention of the father is really to provide or to cause mental anguish or emotional anxiety sa bata or sa ina, it can be considered as a child abuse kasi intentional eh. Intentional yung hindi pag-provide ng support. Whereas naman, kasi there are Supreme Court rulings kasi na if the father is not able to provide support for his or her, for his child, does not necessarily mean na pwede siyang liable under the law. Kasi kung hindi naman kasalanan ni father na hindi siya maka-provide ng support. For example, si father, let's say, disabled siya, wala siyang trabaho, hindi niya kasalanan. Or,
unintentional, you mean?
Yeah, unintentional na yung capacity.
O kaya naman hindi niya alam na anak ka niya.
Yes, pwede rin. Pwede rin. So, he may not be liable for... He may not be liable sa child abuse or sa vowsy if hindi naman intentional. But if it's...
Again, depende yun, di ba?
Pwede. Depende.
So meron follow-up questions si ano si May.
Ah, yeah. Can we also file against women or mothers who do not provide any support?
Kanino? Sa anak? Well, again, if there's a legal obligation and you did not comply with your legal obligation intentionally, you may be violating a law. So, like, look into the law, the specific elements of the law. There could be a violation there. Again, you have to look into several factors, not just the fact that, okay, hindi siya nagbibigay ng support. Katulad nga ng sinabi ni Neska, it could be that she's not capable of doing so, you know. But if it's intentional, then that's a different story. Okay? So we have one more topic here, no? Before we end, oh my gosh, we already actually... I told you, Deska, there's a lot of interesting topics to talk about. But don't worry, because we're gonna discuss in details and much more details ang bawat ano, bawat abuses na ito, bawat issues na ito. So I guess we just go to stalking para matapos natin ito. So yung stalking naman, ano bang stalking? Give me a scenario of stalking na common sa tingin mo.
Well,
domestic tie, remember, domestic tie.
Yeah, domestic tie. For example, if you have strained relations, for example, sa partner mo, there is persistent or unwanted contact or merong someone who does surveilling or monitoring your actions, sinusundan ka. For example, kahit saan ka magpunta, sinusundan ka or kahit ini-stalk ka sa... social media accounts mo, that can also be considered as stalking.
And you're correct there. Yun nga dito, kapag ka naglagay ka ng tracker sa sasakyan, that's also stalking. And that's not, you know, that's not legal. So, kaya lang kasi because of social media, you don't know who's watching you na, who's following you, who's, you know. So that's why we have to be very careful when we are posting information. Like, for example, if you're going to an event, you know, and you know that you're in a situation where there's a stalker on the loose, or like, for example, you have an issue with your husband or your disgruntled ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, right? Could be both ways kasi ang being stalker, eh. Not necessarily a man, right? Either one. So, you know, just be careful with what you're posting there because you're giving much information. There's so much information that we're giving out to the public because of the social media. And sometimes, you know, the intention is, oh, it's okay. It's just plain because it's plain simple. Like, oh, you're eating in a restaurant. You took a picture. We love doing that. By the way, why do we do that all the time? Right? We love taking pictures of the picture, and then you post and put a caption that you're in this restaurant, and it's current. So if somebody is stalking you, you're actually contributing to that. You're giving you're making it easier for that person, or actually you're encouraging that person to stalk you, to follow you, diba? So you gotta have to be careful with what you're. Sharing in the public. So, but yeah, stalking could also be a form of domestic abuse. As a matter of fact, in one case, recently lang that I was involved with, yung the wife was actually accused of stalking, and they provided this thick of evidence of phone conversation, you know, text messages. Na talaga naman, if you read it, talagang you'll think that, yeah, it is a stalking. Ito yun, stalking. But depende yun kung, again, if you are the one representing the stalker, the person stalking, the other party, there's probably more to that text. Kaya nga when we were presenting the witness at the time, we want to show yung context ng text na yon. Bakit lumabas yung mga text na yun? Baka siya nagte-text ng ganito, ng ganyan, ng mga wordings. You know, we have to show why. Kasi like you said, kapag, you know, like an attorney, I can represent both, right? Could be the stalker. Could be the spouse who is stalking the other spouse. Yeah, she may be stalking the other spouse. It may appear that it's stalking. But there is a reason why she's sending all these texts. So kaya titignan mo rin yung context na, yeah, it could appear as a stalking, but maybe there's a reason why. Pero kung wala naman, talagang stalking lang gusto mo, inisen, or gusto mo lang malaman nung nangyayari, or you just want to, sinosurveillance mo talaga yung tao because you're planning something, and it's causing that person emotional distress, na wala kang contribution na hindi ka nag-provoke, then you can use that one against the other spouse. But if you provoke that, you know, ibang isapan naman yon. That's what I'm talking about earlier when we, you know, related to that case that I was on the side of the spouse who actually was being accused of stalking because it was provoked naman. Ayun.
Yeah, it's really important to know, no, Attorney Aileen, kung what was the reason behind all those text messages? Kasi minsan hindi natin alam the reason behind it.
Oh, yung mga screenshots. Recently lang, di ba, naging ano yung screenshots na uso yung puro screenshots. Eh. Yeah. You be careful with what you're posting there, you know, because...
Yeah, especially here in the Philippines, because there are data privacy law.
Uh-huh. And there's also here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, a federal law. So be careful with those screenshots. At saka isa pa, like I said, there's more to that screenshot. So, huwag tayo masyadong judgmental sa mga tao. Ano? Anyway, so we're... Actually, you nag-overtime na tayo, Neska. We try not to do this all the time, guys. But sometimes it's the topic. If there's a lot of... If there are a lot of questions, sometimes it's hard. But I'm just glad that we do not have a... There's no show right after ours. So that's why we can, you know... we're still okay, right? But next time, we're going to try to stick with our time. So anyway, what are we going to talk about next... Friday, Neska?
Yes, next week we'll be talking specifically about physical abuse. We're gonna discuss on some cases there in the Texas and also here in the Philippines. Maybe we'll have to understand the physical abuse in actual cases decided by the Supreme Court. And yun.
Yeah, so we're gonna look into the physical abuse, because today we talk about it in general, in my samples lang, but next Friday, join us because we're going to talk about actual cases where physical abuse has been brought up in those cases. So you'll know, you will have knowledge how it was proven in court and also how it was decided by the court. All right, so till next Friday. Legal Treats every Friday starting at 6:30 p.m. Again, this is Aileen. At 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That'll be Saturday, 8:30 a.m. in the Philippines. So we'll see you again next Friday. Maraming salamat, Laon Media Network, and also Krisha and Neska. Thank you so much. Everybody, we'll see you on Friday.
Bye.
Bye.